This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
You can take out whatever's not the original. You can take it. Just
yeah.
You can take all these out. You can get these out. I'm very overwhelmed. Such a tremendous olam tonight, the week before Pesach. Thank you everyone for coming. Brishus of Kraus Shlita. Kol HaKadosh Hazeh. So we know the highlight of the Seder. Manishtana Halayla Hazeh Mikol HaLeilois. Why is this night different from all other nights? It's Taka, a very good question. Terrific question. Why is it so different? And in many ways, Leil Seder is unique, much more than any other night of the year. Just by the sheer number of mitzvahs that we perform, it outduels any night of the year. And the Avudraham, one of the great Rishonim, Reb David Avudraham, makes a cheshbon. How many mitzvahs do we do the night of the Seder? So Avudraham says on the pasuk, "V'higadatol avincha b'yemahu leimar ba'avur zeh." Says the Avudraham, Zez Gematria Yudvei, says Avudraham, there are 12 mitzvahs that we do the night of the Seder. Dalid Koisois, Charoises, Karpas, Netilos Yadayim twice, Hamoitzi, Matzah, Maror, Koirech. 12 mitzvahs. What other night of the year do we do 12 mitzvahs? Sukkis, Leil Sukkis. You do one mitzvah, you sit in the sukkah. The day of Sukkot, okay, you do two mitzvahs. You sit in the sukkah, dalet minim. Oh, but danach from Pesach, 12 mitzvahs? I mean, you have a guy, he's in the red. He comes in the night of the Seder, he has 10 more averos than mitzvahs. By the time the night is over, you know, he's in the green. He's letzad hazchus. But the truth is, the Chidah says that there's a contradiction over here, because the very pasuk that Avudraham quotes of Higadatol Abincha Bayemahu Leimar, the Avudraham forgot to count the mitzvah of the pasuk of Higadatol Abincha. I mean, the Avudraham has a count. The count are the 12 mitzvahs, and he left out the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's not on the list. So the Chidah, in his Agada Simchas HaRegel, points out that the Avudraham is only counting the mitzvahs Maisiyos. Charoises, Karpas, Achilas Matzah, Achilas Maror, Koirech. But Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim is Dibur Adla Maisa. So it's really more than 12 mitzvahs. There are 12 mitzvahs Maisiyos. But Avada, there's a mitzvah of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. So how many mitzvahs are there in total? With the Maisiyos, with all the Diburim, with all the Amirois. So Shlomo Brevda brings down in his Sefer that he heard, he says, from a God-fearing Jew, somebody by the name of Yosef Shlaima, who used to be a Rebbe in the city of Mir, that he heard from Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yimkoim Damai, who had a Messiah from the Vilna Gaon, that Leil Seder, we perform 64 mitzvahs, with all the brachos and all the diburim. There are 64 unique mitzvahs to Leil Seder. 60. So Rabbi Ravda said he sent out a team of Avreichim on the case. You know, what are the 64 mitzvahs? Doesn't say he put them in 70 different rooms, but he said that they all came back with a different 64. So he says if you add them all together, it's even more than 64. But basically, there are 64 mitzvahs that we perform the night of the Seder. So it's Taka, a good kasha. Why so many mitzvahs? What's the inyan? The night of Sukkot, you do one mitzvah. What other night of the year do we perform so many mitzvahs, 64 mitzvahs, the night of the Seder? What's the meaning of this? So let's examine a very important question. This is a question of the Radvaz. The Radvaz was the Rav in Egypt, in Cairo, for 40 years. He wrote more than 2,400 shuvas. He sent shuvas literally all over the world. We're talking 500 years ago. He sent shuvas to Salonika, to Greece, to India, to Africa. Now, the Radvaz plays a very important role in Jewish history. About 300 years earlier, there was a man by the name of the Rambam. The Rambam noticed a very sad practice during tefillah. The Rambam noticed that during Chazaras Hashatz, not people were talking, Chas V'Shalom. Not people were learning, Chas V'Shalom. You know you're not allowed to learn during Chazaras Hashatz. Mishnah Berurah says you can't learn. Chaim Kanievsky writes, if you're Maver Sedra during Chazaras Hashatz, it's a mitzvah haba ba'aver, you have to do it again. So they weren't learning during Chazaras Hashatz. They weren't paying attention during Chazaras Hashatz. So what did the Rambam do? The Rambam was mevatel the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei. Hear this? The Rambam. In the times of the Rambam, there was no Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei. For 300 years in Klal Yisrael, people just listened to the Chazan. Until the Radvaz came along, he says, enough is enough, and he reinstated the Shtilah Shmoneh Esrei. That's the institution of the Radvaz. In 1492, he's 12 years old. He was one of the Gerushei Sfarad. He came to Yerushalayim, then to Tzfas, then to Egypt. He had Gilui Eliyahu. He's the Rebbe of the Arizal and the Shita Mikuvetzas. And in the 987th tshuva of the Radvaz, he has the following question. He wants to know, and we'll say it as follows. Of all Yisurei Torah, Chametz is the strictest of all the Yisurim. I'll give you a mashal. So you have a big vat of chicken soup, and a guy is walking by with chazer schmaltz, and a little droplet of chazer schmaltz falls into the chicken soup. So what do you do? So this is a chicken soup. In this soup, you have pig fat. What do you do with the soup? Esk is into hayt. You eat the soup. It's batel b'shishim. In fact, the Bnei Yisoscha writes, there's a big inyan to eat the soup. Because you're mevatel, the tumah and the klipos of the... I don't know why they never marketed this. This is a big segula, actually. Thing is, because ain't mevatlan l'charchila, it's going to be very tricky to actually sell. But if lu yitzur, you could come up with chicken soup that chazer shmar, according to the Bnei Yisoscha, it's a big inyan to eat it. So you're allowed to eat it. And what would happen if on Pesach a little chametz fell into the chicken soup? It's all gone. You have to throw it into the garbage. It's not even batel be'elef. And what if the chicken soup, it's the size of this room? It doesn't matter. It's not even batel be'elef. Why? Why? Why is chametz so chamor? You're eating it the rest of the year. Why is chametz so chamor? I'll give you another example. So, you work in an office, and Tony's sitting next to you, and he's having his chazer sandwich next to you on the same table. Can you eat your kosher tuna fish sandwich right next to Tony? His treif is here, your kosher is here. No hefsik mappa, no different tablecloth, no hecker. Are you allowed to eat your kosher sandwich right next to him? Mutar lecharchila. No problem. What about if sitting next to you is a yid and you're eating a salami sandwich and he's eating a cheese sandwich? No, you can't do it on the same table. You need hefsik mappa, you need a hecker. Why? Why is basar b'chalav more chamor than chazer? The answer is, chazer you would never eat, so we're not worried you're going to come to eat it. But what if a little crumb of his food falls into your sandwich? Who cares? It's batel b'shisha. But the guy who's eating milchiks next to you, who's eating fleishiks, the problem is, since loy badili minei, since you eat milchiks the rest of the year or a different time, we're afraid during the course of your achilas basar, you're going to take a piece of his chalav and you're going to partake of it. It's not that we're afraid a piece of it is going to fall into your food, because even if it falls in, it's going to be batel b'shishim. What we're afraid of is you might take a bite out of a sandwich. Comes Pesach. So what do you have to do by basar chalav? Different placemat, different tablecloth. You put something on the table, you make a hecker. It comes Pesach, and you're sitting down at the table, and you're eating your matzah sandwich, and a guy next to you is eating chametz. Are you allowed to do it?
No.
What if it's a different tablecloth? It doesn't matter. What if the Chayadam says the table is 100 miles long and he's eating chametz on one side of the table and you're eating matzah on the other side of the table? Are you allowed to eat your matzah while he's eating chametz? It's asur. Chazal made a gezerah. You cannot eat matzah at a shulchan at the time that someone is eating chametz. Why? Because we're afraid that a mashu of chametz will fly into your food, and chametz bePesach is not batal even beElef. Nitei Gavriel writes, if you're on an airplane, you know, so they have these trays that flip back. So he says, even though technically speaking, it's two different trays, but nevertheless, you should be worried that maybe a little piece of the guy next to you's chametz falls into your food. By basar b'chalav, it's not a problem. By tarfus, it's not a problem. But by chametz, we're worried that a little crumb might fall into your food, and chametz b'pesach is not even batel b'elef. So why is chametz so much more chamor than kol isurei Torah? Give you another example. So you buy a house. The guy who used to live in the house, he's a guy. Chveis, you know, he probably ate treif on the couch. So you yarshin's his couch, you bought his couch. You have chiv bedika. You have to take out the cushion and search under the couch with a flashlight. B'chayrin of zdokin. Oh, maybe Burger King's in the couch. Maybe it's in the radiator. You have to take out a toothbrush and start scraping the corners, searching for tarfus. No chiv bedika. And what if you jumped on the mattress and his tarfus came out? What do you do with it? You have to burn it. You don't have to burn it. You know how many chumras there are on Pesach? The Chidah says, if you count the chumras of Pesach, there's seven chumras. There's bedika. There's what he calls chippus, the chayrin of his stocken. You have to mevatel the chametz. You have to burn the chametz. There's something called iser koshahu. Bal Yeroah, Bal Yimasa, these are Yisurim that do not apply B'chol HaTorah Kula. Ma Nishtana Ho Yisur Chameitz B'chol Yisurim Shabbatayrah. Why is it so much more chamor than any other Yisur? Says the Radvaz, maybe you'll say, that because Chameitz carries with it an Yisur Kares, so we have all these restrictions. Says Radvaz, there are many Yisurei Achila that have Isser Kares. Chelev, Dam. There's no Bedika for Dam. There's no Srifas Dam. There's no Bittul Dam. Maybe you'll say because Chametz is Asur Bahana, so is Klei HaKerem, so is Shar HaNiskal. Ah, says Rav Raz, maybe it's because people, since they eat chametz the whole year, and loy bedile mine, people are accustomed to eating it, so in order to make sure that people don't forget on Pesach, we need all these restrictions. Says Rav Raz, what about yayin le-nazir? A nazir only doesn't drink wine when he's a nazir. Do we have all these restrictions that if he finds wine, he has to burn it? Because loy bedile mine the rest of the year? Or Chadash, where when it's Yashin Loi Bedile Mine. And therefore the Radvaz, he's searching, he's seeking. Why Manishtano Hoser Hazeh? Why is it so Chamor? What's with it? And this is a Sefer of Halacha. It's a Halachic responsa. It's not a Sefer of Drush. The Radvaz has no Teretz to the Kasha. Until he's forced to give the following answer. Says the Radvaz at the end of number 4. V'alkein ani soymech ama sha'amru chazal b'midrashais. Ki chametz ba'pesach remez li'yetzer hara. Chametz is a remez. It's an allegory. It's a mashal to the evil inclination, which is sa'ar shaba'isa. And therefore, because it's so invidious, it's so poisonous, it's so mituav, kale goresh yigoresh oisei ha'adam e'olav, a person has to banish it, search for it, seek it out, burn it, be mevatel it, kol shehu, chayrin ustakin sreifa. And then whatever's left, you sell to the rabbi. Why? Because it's a remez to the Yetzer Hara. There's nothing worse in this world than the Yetzer Hara. Wow. The Chidah says, look what happened to the Ravaz. The Ravaz is writing a sefer of Shailas Tshuvas. It's not a drush, not a balaturim. And the Ravaz is seeking and searching for a halachic reason, a rational reason why chametz is so chamor. And he can't come up with a pshat, and he can't come up with a drash. And he has to resort to remez. Says the Chidah, what we see from here is there are times in Torah when there is no pshat and there is no drush, remez then is upgraded to pshat. In other words, says the Chidah, if the Ravaz is giving this teretz, this is not the remez, this is the pshat. This is the simple, rational interpretation of why chametz is so chamor. It's the Yetzer Hara. It's the Sa'ar Shabi Isa. The yeast in the dough. The yeast in the dough. Rabbi said, the Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Yud Zayin, Rabbi Alexandri, after he would finish davening, he would offer the following tefillah. He would say, Ribbon Ha'olamim, Master of the Universe, Goloi v'yadua lefanecha, it's revealed and known before you, sheretzoineinu lasois retzoincha, that it's our will to fulfill your will. So nu, umi ma'akev, Sa'ar Sheva Isa, the yeast in the dough, v'shibud malchios, and the goyim. Shibud malchios, we understand, the goyim, the influence of the goyim, the influence of the umay sa'olam, their ideas, their notions are antithetical to the Torah, and they creep into our minds, and they creep into our outlook, and they influence the way we think, and they bring us down. That's Shibud Malchit. But what's Sa'ar Sheva Isa? How does Sa'ar, what does that mean? Sa'ar, the yeast in the dough. If you eat a donut, it's going to take you away from Hashem. So the Pashup Shad is, because it has 500 calories, and you consume it, and it's intoxicating, and you can't think for 2 hours after. You try in yeshiva. They serve donuts after a bris. You can't learn the whole morning Seder. Your mind is mavulbal, it's clouded, it's like they should make a halacha, ha'oichel, you know, kezayis, carbs, you know, a rav cannot paskin. What does the Gemara mean, sa'ar sheva isa? So Rashi says, sa'ar sheva isa is the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara. In fact, you know, the famous Gemara in Shabbos, where ba'achris hayamim, the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to the avos, banecha chatu. So Avram Avinu says, yimacha al kedesh shemai. And Yaakov Avinu says, Yimachla Kiddush Shemai. And Yitzchak makes a cheshbon. First 20 years, they're not about Oin Shem. 25 night years, don't count. So what are we left with 25 years? Ultimately, Yitzchak says, Palgi Olai, U Palgi Olecha. Ribbono Shel Olam, I'll take half on my shoulders, you take half on your shoulders. What's the argument of Yitzchak Avinu? So Rav Hutner says that he heard B'Shem Rav Itzla Paterberg. The Yitzchak has, Yitzchak argues like this. Why do Kal Yisrael sin? So Alexandri says, what are the two ma'akvim? Shibud Malchios and Sa'ar Sheva Isa. So Yitzchak says, Sa'ar Sheva Isa, the Yetzer Hara, that's your fault, Ribbono Shel Olam. Shibud Malchios is Esav, that's my fault. So Palgi Olai, Palgi Olecha, half on me and half on you. That's Pshat in the Gemara and Shabbos. So Yetzer Hara is the main impediment that takes us away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Sa'ar Sheva Isa. Why is the Yetzer Hara called Sa'ar Sheva Isa? It's called Sa'ar Sheva Isa. Why does a person do an Avera? Gaiva. I deserve. I'm entitled. How could you say that to me? I need. Hakol Mushrosh B'Gaiva. The inflation of the Yetzer Hara. Mamela, who's the biggest enemy that we have in this world? Right, if I were to ask you, who's your biggest enemy in this world? Your boss. Don't answer. Chavis Havavoy says, the famous story in Shai Yichad HaMaisa, number 9, Roy Lakhalada says a Khabis Havavois ki hasoine hagadol sheyesh lakhava oilam hu yitzracha. Your biggest enemy in this world is the Yetzer Hara. Rabbi Tzolo Petzberg says, you should know, the Yetzer Hara doesn't just want to make you do an Avera. The Yetzer Hara wants to kill you. He wants you to die. Rabbi Tzolo would say that, why does the Gemara say Nedarim, Rishayim Meleim Charata, the Rishayim are full of regret. That's from the Yetzer Hara. I thought Charata, that's part of Tshuva. No, the Pshat is the Yetzer Hara first wants you to do an Avera, and then he wants you to feel bad about it, and then he wants you to get depressed about it, then he wants you to get sick, because he wants to kill you. Yetzer Hara is not just out to take away your ruchnius, he's your enemy. He wants a person dead, says Rav Itzlah. Says Rav Chavis HaBavais, the story about the chassid who meets warriors returning from war. And the chassid says, you've returned from the small war. Now it's time to face the Mechama HaGdoila. Ah, so they said, what are you talking about? What's the Mechama HaGdoila? So he said, Mechama Sayitza. That's the Sa'ar Sheva Isa. Says the Radvaz, do you know why there's so many chumros on Pesach? Bedika, chipus, bittul, sreifa, iser koshuhu. Bal yeira, bal yeimotzeu. You don't have anything like this. The answer is because chametz is the yetzer hara. And kale gore shigosh. You got to get rid of every vestige and every semblance of the yetzer hara. And that's why we're so machmir when it comes to the yetzer hara. Okay, beautiful answer. Now we understand. It's worse than shreif. It's worse than seafood. It's worse than klei akerem. It's worse than shar haniskol. It's worse than dam. It's worse than chet. The chametz is the yetzer hara. But the problem is, if it's taka so chomer, by the way, the chida points out that the Gemara says in Sukkah, how many names does the yetzer hara have? Seven names. Ra, Orel, Tomei, Soine, Michshol, Evan, Sifoini. That the seven chumras of Chameis are connected to correspond to the seven names of the Yetzer. What does it mean the Yetzer has seven names? Why does he need seven names? Chida says the Yetzer has different tactics to get a person to do an Avera. Sometimes the Yetzer comes and says, you? You're going to let him say that to you? Do you know who you are? You know what your credentials are? You're not going to stand up for yourself. So sometimes it makes a person a bal gaiva. And then when it comes to doing a mitzvah, the yetzer hara makes a person an anav sheba anavim, a shafel sheba shvalim. No, not for you. This is above your madrega. Yetzer hara has different tactics. He has seven shemois, shiva shemois. What are the sheva shemois of yetzer hara? Seven tactics of the yetzer hara. The seven chumrois of chametz correspond to the seven tactics of the yetzer hara. So you got to eradicate it. So here's the problem, Rabbi Yisai. Such a beautiful teretz. Chametz is so terrible. It's horrendous. It's the biggest aveira b'chol ha-Torah kula. The Yetzer Hara, you got to get rid of him. So why in the world are we eating chametz the whole year? If it's taka worse than dam and chelev and klei akerem and shara niskol, so why is it only 7 days a year that we're zohir not to eat chametz? We should never eat chametz. Everyone should go on a no-carbs diet. What's the inyan? What does Ribbono Shel Olam want from us? If chametz is the embodiment, again, this is not drush. Chida says you have to know how to read a tshuva. The Radvaz could not come up with a pshat. He could not come up with a drush. He could only come up with a remez. Says the Chida, that means it's upgraded to pshat. This is the pshat. If this is the pshat, what are we doing? Eating it the whole year. As an introduction to Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Torah tells us, Hayoim Atem Yoitzim B'Chodesh Ha'aviv. Hersta Maisa. Before, as an introduction to Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Torah gives us a weather report. By the way, guess what? You know what today is? Today is the spring. Why does the Torah introduce Yitzias Mitzrayim with weather? No traffic. What's the inyan? Why hayoim atem yoitzim chodesh ha'aviv? What happens in the spring? Spring is after the winter. The leaves fall off the trees. The animals go into hibernation. The earth is covered in snow. The world is dead. The world is in a state of maves. And then the spring comes, and everything comes alive. And the trees bloom, and the animals frolic, and the earth is reborn. And the Torah is saying, you should know that I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim b'chodesh ha'aviv. What's the meaning of that? Let's think about the madrega of Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim. They're languishing and wallowing in Mitzrayim. They're on Mem Tes Shari Tuma. The Arizal writes that had they remained there a moment longer, they would have fallen to the point of no return. Now, I'll excuse myself. I'm digressing, and this has nothing to do with anything I'm going to say tonight. Could somebody please tell me what it means that we would have fallen to the point of no return? What does that mean, the point of no return? There's no such thing as a point of no return. You can't do tshuva? All of a sudden, you can't do tshuva anymore? Doesn't the Gemara say that Kol ma she'omer lecha bal habayis aseh chutz mitzeh, says the Shlach HaKadosh, whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam tells you, you listen, unless he tells you, get lost, you can't return, because there's no such thing. What does it mean? What does Arizal mean, we would have fallen to the point of no return? So I saw in the Ma'ore HaMayadim from the Brisker Rav, he asked this kasha. What does Arizal mean? I mean, who are we to try to understand, but what's Pashup Shat? I think there's a very Pashup Shat. Look in the Rambam. The Rambam basically paraphrases similar to the Arizal, but the Rambam says, when he talks about the development of Avodah Zarah, he talks about how Avraham Avinu came to the world and he broke all the tzlamim and he broke all the idols and he taught the world about monotheism, he taught the world about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he gathered alafim uravavos, and he passed it on to Yitzchak, who passed it on to Yaakov Avinu. But slowly, slowly, says the Rambam, in Mitzrayim, people began to revert back to the Avodah Zarah of when the world was created at first, and they figured, if Hashem created a sun and a moon and stars, then these are Hashem's ambassadors, so we should honor them as a in between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then ultimately, they began to forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam entirely. Says the Rambam, Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim began to be influenced a little bit by Mitzrayim until Ukemat Kot V'ha'ikr Asher Shosal Avraham Neko Lagamri. Lashon of the Rambam. That the planting that Avraham Avinu planted in Klal Yisrael would have been completely lost. Think about what the Rambam is saying. Doesn't mean we never would have regained Emunah BaHakadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't mean we could have never recovered to the Madrega of Maminim. But we can never trace back our Mesoira to Avraham Avinu. The Iker Sheshasal Avraham BeKlal Yisrael would have been Nekar. We could have done tshuva. We could have regained the madrega. But we could never have traced it back to Avraham Avinu. What Avraham Avinu implanted in Klal Yisrael would have dissipated forever. Maybe that's why the only mitzvah in the Torah that has to be from father to son is Be'gadata l'bincha b'yoymahu le'mar b'avur zeh. Because the mitzvah is not to know the information. The mitzvah is to restore and recover the connection to Avraham Avinu. To be able to establish for all time that we still have in us the Iker Sheshas al Avraham Avinu. That's what the Arizal means. We would have fallen to the point of no return. As it's well known that the Aruch Haim HaKadosh writes that Bizman HaZeh, even somebody who falls to the 50th level of Tuma could recover. So why couldn't they do it before? Because they didn't have the Torah. What does that mean? That means the Mesorah would have been severed. Be it as it may, let's think about the status of Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim. They're on the 49th level of Tuma. They have a slave mentality. They have low morale. They're Eroim ve'Eriya. They're empty and bereft of mitzvahs. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Klal Yisrael and says, listen up, Herzachayin, in 49 days I'm taking you to Har Sinai. I'm giving you the Torah. Mashal l'maha davar daima. Imagine you have a homeless man, a yid. He's dependent. He's lo shebelo shebelo. And you tell him, Rabbi Yid, come to yeshiva. We're going to groom you and train you. And in 49 days, you're going to be the Rosh Yeshiva's Chavrusa. And then you're going to be saying Pilpul Shir. The guy can't read Shema Yisrael. Well, what are you talking about? How does Ribon Shalom turn to Klal Yisrael and say, I'm taking you out, and in 49 days you're going to be Mekabel the Torah, you're going to be eligible to the title of Mamleches Koyhanim V'Goy Kadosh, you're going to reach the level of Adam Arishon Koydem Achet. Us? Halalu Oivdei Avodah Zarah? How are they going to do it? So there's a beautiful Haggadah. The name of the Haggadah is Haggadah Yad Mitzrayim of Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver was known as the Peshlishi, a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, Talmud of Nachum Mendel Mishkalov. And Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver quotes the Arizal B'Shar HaKavonos, and he elaborates it, and he opens up the world with a majestic idea. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, based on the Arizal, if you have in number 12, number 13, Vahala, the Arizal tells us, Inyan Golas Mitzrayim Hu Bebechinas Ibur. Our stay in Mitzrayim was the incubation, the pregnancy of the Jewish people. And Yitzias Mitzrayim from the first day of Pesach until Shvi Shel Pesach is LMD. And the five towns, that means labor and delivery. Yitzias Mitzrayim was the labor and delivery of Klal Yisrael. So what does this mean? Think about where Klal Yisrael were stationed. They're stationed in a lowly, dark, miserable place. Kemasei Eretz Mitzrayim loisasu. The Navi Yechezkel, when he talks about Mitzrayim, he has choice words for the Mitzrim. He says, "Asher besar chamoyrim besaram." They're not a bunch of behemoths; they're a bunch of chamoyrim. Mitzrayim is called ervas haaretz. You know, Rabbi Yitzchak writes that eretz, you know, land also has ivorim, enei haaretz, raglei haaretz. Mitzrayim is ervas haaretz. Why did we have to spend 210 years be'ervas haaretz in such a dark, despicable, lowly place? Because Mitzrayim was the rechem of Klal Yisrael. And the rechem, biologically, is the dingiest, darkest, lowest place, be'adam. And therefore nobody fit the mold like Mitzrayim to be the allegorical rechem of the Bnei Yisrael. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac, we know that pregnancy has three trimesters. First trimester, the baby's completely hidden. Nobody knows the woman's expecting. Even the shviger doesn't know yet. She's looking, she can't tell. It's not nicker, it's not recognizable. So too, Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, Yaakov Avinu. If you looked at Yaakov and his children and the Shvatim, they had it good in Mitzrayim. They weren't ba'avoida. It didn't look like there's a shibud. There's no torture. But still, there was, something was happening. They were geirim be'eretz lo'ilahem. So it was not nicker that there was a pregnancy and a shibud taking place. Comes the second trimester, it gets a little bit more difficult. It's hukar havlad. After 3 months, it's hukar havlad. After the death of the last of the Shvatim, Mayoka Melech Chadosh al Mitzrayim, there were gzeirois. The host mother Mitzrayim and the Bnei Yisrael were now in trimester two. The avdus became more intense. It was obvious they were in galus. But now we have the third trimester. And the third trimester is a very painful ordeal. The mother's limping. The mother's bitsar. It's hard to get along. It's hard to move. Now, the inexperienced mother thinks that the more painful it is, the more tsar she has, the longer it's going to be, and it's never going to end. But the experienced mother knows that the more pain and the more intense the pain is, the closer she is to the finish line. It's the same thing in Mitzrayim. It felt like vayimaru es chayehem. It felt that as bitter as it was getting darker, and it was never going to end. But the truth is, the more bitter that it became, the more the Ribbono Shel Olam was speeding up the geula, like the Gra says, vayimaru es chayehem. The trap on vayimaru es chayehem is what? Kadma va'azla. Gematria of Kadma va'azla? 190. Because of Ayamaru es chayehem, says the Goyin, it was Kadam ba'azal ha'geula 190 years early. You know the Shita of the Rambam? The Ravid says you put charoises on the maror. Shita's harambam is you dip the matzah b'charoises. Comes the Ravid and he has Amar Avram. What does the Ravid say? Two words. Zeh hevel. That's nonsense. You dip the matzah in charoises. The matzah is cheros. The charoises, Tosfos says, is zecher latit. Why in the world are you dipping the matzah in charoises? Dip the maror is the merirus. So you dip it in the charoises. The tit contributed to the merirus. Why would the Rambam paskin you dip the matzah in charoises? The pshat is pashat. Because the tit and the avodas atit and the intense merirus is what caused the cheros. Because had we remained there a moment longer, we never would have got out. So the tit is responsible not only for the merirus, but for the cheros. The Rambam says you dip the matzah in the charoises. It wasn't cheros and shibud. The shibud was goyrim, the cheros. Without the shibud, there wouldn't have been cheros. Not only did the shibud speed up the cheros, without the shibud, it would not have been. We would have been nishtakei asham. So the truth is, the more bitter it became, the sooner we got out, and it became possible to get out. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, the 210 years of Mitzrayim was the Ibur and the Leda of Klal Yisrael, beginning on the first day of Pesach. That was what he calls when the mother sits down on the birthing stool and begins the process of the Leda. We read in the Haggadah, take a look at number 15. V'yavarti b'yaretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh aniv eloi malach. V'hikesi kol b'chor b'yaretz Mitzrayim aniv eloi sarav. U'v'chol eloihei Mitzrayim es ha-shvatim aniv eloi ashliach. Ani Hashem, ani hu v'loi acher. Huh, you know, you think we get the message by now? Ani, 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 ani. Five times, Ribbono Shel Olam says, ani and not someone else. Okay, I get it. I chap. It was you, Hashem. Why the emphasis on ani? Why does the Baal Haggadah, and why does the Torah feel that it needs to emphasize that makas b'chayrois was the Ribbono Shel Olam himself? By the way, it's very interesting. La halacha, the Gemara says, "Kol shalayomer emes v'yatziv shachris lo yatzi yidei chayvasai." Right. So the question is, why do you have to say emes v'yatziv? You already said ani Hashem lekeichem asher yitzis yischa meyatzusayim. What does emes v'yatziv have in it? So Rashi and Shas says, and Bracha Yisid Alpha and Beis Rashi says, emes v'yatziv has kriyas yamsuf. The Torah says no, it's more than kriyas yamsuf. The Torah says it's what? Makas b'chayrois. Makas b'chayrois. Why is makas b'chayrois? That means, according to the Gemara, if you don't mention makas b'chayrois, lo yatzi yidei chayvasai of zechiras yitzias Mitzrayim. Why is it so critical to mention makas b'chayrois? You don't have to mention dam. You don't have to mention sfardeya. Why do you have to mention makas b'chayrois? The truth is, in the Hagoyis Rabbi Kiva Eger, he brings a girsa that you have to mention makas b'chayrois and you don't have to mention kriyas yamsuf. See, you don't have to mention Kriyas Yamsuf, and you do have to mention Makas B'chayrois. Why would you have to mention Makas B'chayrois? So you know the famous word from Reb Chaim says that in Mitzrayim, we did Avdus, and we were Avodim. We did the verb, and we were the noun. We worked, and we had a shame Eved. We stopped working when we left. We were nigal. The geula meant we used to work, we used to do avodah, and we didn't do avodah anymore in the morning when we left. but we were still avadim, an eved, shebarach is still an eved. What extricated us from the category of being eved? That was in the nighttime by Makas Bechairos. That was the pidyoin of Klal Yisrael. The pidyoin of Klal Yisrael was Makas Bechairos. The pidyo was Belaila, the geula was Beyoim. When did the pidyoin take place? Makas Bechairos. That was the redemption of Klal Yisrael. And the Baal HaGadah emphasized, Ani, 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 Ani. Why the emphasis? I get the point. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chava, very pashat. What does the Gemara say? Those who are learning the Daf HaShavua, I know in Pesach, it's very big, right? Tainus Daf Beis Amar Aleph, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shalosh, Mavtechas, B'yadah Shah, Kodesh Baruch Hashem, Nimsa, B'yad Shliach, V'eluhain, Pituchei Choysam, Kodesh LaShem, Chayat Chia, Matar. One of the keys that the Ribbono Shel maintains sole possession of, that he doesn't give to anybody else, is the key of childbirth. Yitzias Mitzrayim was the labor and delivery of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, this is a task and this is a job that is reserved only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the Baal HaGadah says, Ve'avarti v'hi kesi ese ani Hashem ani v'loy acher. It's one of those things that only the Ribbono Shel Olam could do. What was the first Makkah? Makkah's dam, why? Says Rabbi Yisrael, Ein psichas hakever b'loy dam. That's the beginning of the opening of the rechem. The klal, halachic klal, Ein psichas harechem b'loy dam. Take a look at number 18. So the pasuk says, Ve'hoysa tse'oka gedoyla b'chol eretz Mitzrayim asher kamayu loy niyasa v'chamayu loy soysif. Okay, good to know. It's great. Why is it Torah? So now we have a weather report. And, by the way, Guinness Book World, you know, Guinness Book of World Records. Does anybody know? A little tidbit. What was the loudest geschrei in the history of the world? The night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, good to know. I'm going to, you know, mark it down in Yedias Klalias. Why is the Torah telling me that the loudest scream that ever happened was the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Says Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. Who screams louder than anybody else? A woman in childbirth. And that's if she's having one baby, 7 pounds, she's screaming. And imagine if she's having a 12-pounder, then it's very loud. And what if she's having twins? Triplets? What if she's having 600,000 people? You know what kind of geschrei that's going to produce? The Torah is telling us, V'hoysa tse'aka gedoyla b'chal eretz Mitzrayim asher chamayu l'niyasa. Because this was the largest expansive delivery and labor in the history of the world. Mitzrayim, the host mother, was giving birth to 600,000 Yidden. That's very interesting. All the Sfarim tell us, Sfasemes, Vipsalik HaKoyen, and Emeli Melech, that Pesach is a compound word. Pesach, the mouth that speaks. Somehow, Pi Machshava, Pi Kabbalah, there's a concept that when we were in Mitzrayim, not only were we subjugated and enslaved, but somehow the Koyach HaDibur was enslaved. We did not have control over the faculty of speech. The faculty of speech was enslaved. Paroi, Pera, Moshe Rabbeinu was Kvad Peh, Kvad Lashon. The freedom took place. Where? Pi HaChirois. And somehow, the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, our mouths became unshackled, and we redeem it with the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Achilas Matzah. Who are we to explain what this means? But in light of what we learned, this becomes very clear. What does the Gemara in Nida tell us about the state of an Ubar B'mei Imai? The Gemara says, L'ma'adoy, l'ma'av la'adoy, me'be me'imoy, roishoy munach loy bein birkov. Upiv sosum, the Gemara says. That a child in his mother's womb, his mouth is sealed shut. Likewise, in Mitzrayim, we were Ubar Yerachimoy. We were in the host mother, so our Koyach Adibur was shackled. Our Koyach, it was Pi Hamidaber. It was, the mouth was sealed. But says the Gemara, Kivon Sheyotzo La'avir Olam, Niftach HaSosom. The moment the child is born, the mouth opens up. Pi Achirois. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, Achilas Matzah. When a baby is born, the few moments, the hours right after the baby is born, they're critical. The systems of the baby are very sensitive. There are vital activities that have to be performed, that if you don't perform those activities, it could affect the child's health for the rest of its life. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Chav Tes, enumerates 7 activities that you're allowed to be Mechalo Shabbos for, that if they are not performed, the baby is B'sakonas Nefashos. You could warm water. You could lotion the child. You could swaddle the child. You could be mechalo Shabbos to care for the child. Because the moment of Leda is very critical. It sets the tone. It prepares the child to deal with the rest of its life. The night of Pesach is the Leda of Klal Yisrael. It's the birth of Klal Yisrael. It sets the tone for the rest of the year and for the rest of our careers as Ovdei Hashem. And therefore we have 12 mitzvahs masiyos that must be performed Lel Seder. No other night of the year do you have any mitzvahs specifically. Pesach, 12 mitzvahs. Masiyos, total of 64 mitzvahs. Because this is the beginning of our spiritual life. This is the Leda of Klal Yisrael. Every detail has to be paid attention to. There are very precious activities that have to be performed. So you have a 2-year-old kid, and his supper falls on the floor, a little macaroni falls on the floor. Look, nobody's looking. You just pick it up and you put it back in the bowl. Nothing's going to happen to the kid. He'll survive, I guarantee. There's a 3-second rule, 5-second rule, 10-second rule. V'yesh machmirim, v'yesh meikilim. But if it's a newborn baby whose system is undeveloped, who doesn't have an immune system, who is very sensitive, especially in the first 30 days. Every time somebody looks at the pacifier, it has to be burned in boiling water for at least 3 hours in the self-cleaning oven. Why? Because the baby's systems are not developed. The baby doesn't have immunity. It's prone to infection. It's prone to disease. Very sensitive. The Yetzer Hara is a terrible thing. It's a very bad thing. And we have to keep away from the Yetzer Hara as much as possible. But a little Yetzer Hara is necessary. A little Yetzer Hara makes the world go round. What does the Gemara say in Yuma? That when Anshei Knesset HaGdoila were Mevatel, the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, so they said, you know what? While we're at it, let's just be Mevatel the Yetzer Hara all together. And the Gemara says, the world stopped functioning. So my grandfather told me, when my grandfather, he grew up in America in the 30s. So he had a mashgiach, famous mashgiach, Reb Zadel Epstein, who later became mashgiach in Torah. He was mashgiach in New York in the 30s, 1930s. What kind of Yetzer Hara do boys have in the Great Depression in the 30s? My grandfather told me that Reb Zadel would tell the bachrim that a bachur, now you ask your own Rosh Shiva, don't listen to me, a bachur needs to play ball every day. Why? He says, you can't starve the Yetzer Hara. It's a dangerous thing. That was in the 30s. Maybe Hochshir Dara, what could I tell you? But that's what the Mashgiach would tell him. A little Yetzer Hara is b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha u'b'chol ma'idecha. You have to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam with the Yetzer Hara. A mature person knows how to give in the appropriate way, at the right time, in the appropriate measure. But that's during the rest of the year. Abyssal chametz never hurt anybody. But the night of Pesach is the birth. We're not mature yet. We're very sensitive. It's the moment of Leda. Even an iota of Yetzer Hara is not something we're able to deal with. So the night of Pesach and the 7 days of Pesach, we're so sensitive. Our systems are so unimmune. We're not able to deal with chametz. We're not able to deal with the yetzer hara. Oh, the rest of the year, it's just a mashal to the yetzer hara. To that extent, it's okay. But the night of the Seder, even an iota, even a shemetz of yetzer hara, is batal mevatal. We can't deal with it. We're not ready for it at the time of the Leda. Marv Rav Oisai says, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, let's examine the two words, chametz and matzah. They both have a mem. They both have a tzadi. The only difference between them is chametz is a ches, and matzah is a hay. And what's the difference between a ches and a hay? A little opening. And you know what that opening is? That's the Pesach HaLeda. That's the Psichas HaRechem. That's the opening with which Klal Yisrael was born. The reason why Chametz is so chamor is because if you seal up the matzah, you are nipping the birth of Klal Yisrael in the bud. You're being ma'akir, the shoyrish of Klal Yisrael. The birth of Klal Yisrael was through the psichas harechem of the achilas matzah. And chametz seals shut the leida and the birth of the Jewish people. That's the difference between chametz and matzah. So if we want to get a little bit more specific, what precisely is the moment of the Leda? Says Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, it began the first night of Pesach, and it culminated. In other words, when could we shout out Mazel Tov? When was the baby born? Kriyas Yamsuf. Ha! Hafla v'fela, drushes chsam sofer. You ready for this? You look in the Birchas Kriyas Shema, you'll never say Birchas Kriyas Shema again the same way. Hamavir bonov ben gizre yamsuf. V'ro bonov gvurasai shibchu v'haydu l'shmai. Malchuscha ro banecha. Banecha? In Mitzrayim we were never called banecha. Sfasemes points out, in Mitzrayim it's Yatsu called Sivois Hashem. We're just his army. When we left, we were Amoy. But when Kriyas Yamsuf happened, we're Mavra Bonov and Gizrei Yamsuf. Why all of a sudden are we Bonim? Because if there's a Leda, it produces a new relationship. Every Leda creates a relationship between an Av and a Ben. You know when we became Bonim Atem Hashem Elokeichem? Kriyas Yamsuf, it's Vero Bonav Gvurasai, not a moment sooner. And not a moment later. Not a Matan Torah. The Av, when did the Ribbono Shel Olam become Avinu Av HaRachamon? Kriyas Yamsuf, that was the culmination of the Leda. Vero Bonav Gvurasai, Shibchu Vaidu Shmai. By the way, it's Meduyak in Rashi. Rashi in Mishalach says that when HaKadosh Baruch was taking us out of Mitzrayim, Rashi says, the Mitzrayim were coming at one end. The Yam was at the other end. You know what Rashi says? Mashal l'mahadavar doyne le'av u'benoi, Rashi says. All of a sudden, the procedure of taking us out, it's a mashal avu b'noi. That was the relationship that was created. If you look in the Balei HaToisus in Parshas B'Shalach, v'lay nacham aleikim derech eretz plishtim, ki karoiv hu, says the Balei HaToisus, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to deal with us like a karoiv. Maybe we could say like a karoiv. He was now forging the Bnei Yisrael Am Karoivai, the korva of that was created through the Leda. So what exactly does this mean for us? That Mitzrayim was the birth of Klal Yisrael, that Mitzrayim was the Leda of the Jewish people. The Abba Arbanel learns that the Kasha of the Manish Tana is like this. Shabachol halelois anu oichlim chametz u'matzah halayla hazeh matzah. Every other time we bring a carbon toida, it comes with lachmei chametz and lachmei matzah. Presumably, the carbon Pesach is a carbon toida. If the carbon toida, look, we crossed the Yam, we went through the Midbar, we were out of Beis HaSurim, and we were in Esrapeh. So it's a carbon toida. Every carbon toida comes with chametz and matzah. That's the kasha of the Manish Tana. Frag the Chassam Sofer, that's a good tekasha, what's the answer? Says the Chassam Sofer, the answer is, a Karban Pesach is not a Karban Toida. It's not a Karban Toida, what kind of Karban is it? It's a Karban Miluim. It's Karban Miluim. And the Karban Miluim came only with Lachmei Matzah. What does that mean, it's a Karban Miluim? When we say that Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, was the birth of Klal Yisrael, and it's our birth every year, it means it's the beginning and the inauguration of our Avodas Hashem for the year. It's a new start. It's a fresh start. It's a miluim. It's inaugurating ourselves as Ovdei Hashem. Rav Ram Shor writes in his Haggadah, what's the inyan of wearing a kittel? Says the Gemara says in Tainis that who was the Kohen Gadol during the Shivas Yimei Miluim? Moshe Rabbeinu. And what did Moshe wear during the Miluim? Beged Lavan Shein Bo Imra, a white garment that had no hem. A kittel. The kittel is commemorative of the big day Moshe during the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. That's what Pesach means to us. It's inauguration of ourselves. Whatever was last year, it's all gone. Memtesh Shari Tuma, the Chidar brings from his grandfather, the Chesed Avram, the 30 days before Pesach, every day the Ribbono Shel Olam removes us from the Shari Tuma and elevates us for Shari Kedusha. Memtesh Shari Tuma, low morale, slave mentality, all the things that bog us down. Ribbono Shel Olam is Moitzias, Leil Yitzias Mitzrayim, and we're, so to speak, born again. B'kriyas Yamsuf. So let me be the first to wish everybody Mazel Tov on being born. And we should take it as an opportunity to be Mechadesh, our Avodas Hashem, Alimud HaTorah, Yer Shamayim, Amidos Toivos. We have a Mesorah, Chassam Sofer brings down from the Maaseh Rekeach. We have a Mesorah that the third Beis HaMikdash will be built on Pesach, he says. The problem is, we can't be mechanechet, we can't be inaugurated, because ain't ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, says the Chassam Sofer, you don't need the Magen Avram, that the reason we don't say Tachnon, the whole Nisan, is Ho v'yotzeroi v'chodesh b'kdusha. You only need that because you don't know what to do with the last 7 days. I'll tell you what we do with the last 7 days. The last 7 days are of Nisan are reserved for the chinuch of the third Beis HaMikdash that will be built on Pesach. Shvizoicha, kimei seischa, mei haaretz Mitzrayim, arenu nefloi, shvizoicha, to the chinuch, the bayis ha-shlishi, sheyibana b'mher v'yameinu, achar kosher v'sameach. Shkoyach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.